Hello, everybody. This is Mike Quincy connecting the light. As usual, I have Sheldon Idle's message from Tuesday to start the program off. A few items of news in which I will include part of the message I received today through St. Germain, because it's pertinent to the subject that is probably on most people's minds at the moment, and that is the altercation between the UK Navy and the people of Iran over the boarding of one of their boats and then the capture of the UK personnel. So I think that would be very interesting. As I mentioned last week, I've got a very, what I think is an unusual item in my UFO section about the one-eyed entities. So that would be something a bit different. I've only ever heard of them about once, but I see no reason why they shouldn't exist. And then to top off the program, I've got a few nice spiritual messages. So I will start with Sheldon Idle's message this week, which again is very uplifting and very much to the point as to what is taking place. He says, "We return with another message about your ascension and your move into a new reality. Mother Earth continues her determined march toward her fully aware state. Everywhere, your scientists are noticing conditions of heightened movement. You are now in a period when your global civilization must face up to the disaster that they have made of Mother Earth's surface and of her precious, life-giving atmosphere. This abuse needs to stop, and stop now. The minor rumbles all across the surface area are warning signs. You are being prompted to come to a decision about how to remedy this, and then to take swift, concerted, comprehensive action. Mother Earth is chiding you and indicating the utter gravity of your present predicament. The current mode of virtual inaction is no longer tolerable. Your near criminal negligence now demands a much more committed approach and plan of action. The global conference with effective legal teeth is now expected, and knowing this, our Earth allies placed a series of such forums on their calendar. The time comes for them to carry out their plans. While Mother Earth rumbles and spews forth her discontent, Heaven continues to prepare you for full consciousness. At present, the heart and new thymus center are the focus of attention, along with new chakras located in the head. Heaven is working diligently on both those who have awakened relatively recently, as well as on those who have been online for over a decade. You are all being connected up and adjusted to enable you to accept much higher frequencies in anticipation of our meeting. Heaven has somewhat altered the procedures of first contact by requiring that your planetary energies be brought more in line with ours. Hence, your global populace is to be raised in frequency by small increments until a satisfactory level is reached. You will then be fully ready for our arrival. How fast this is done depends on two factors. Mother Earth's determination to accommodate this change, and how close our Earth allies are to achieving their goals. We are currently assessing the situation so that Heaven can make her decision. By now, it should be clear to you that your world is reaching a point where no-nonsense decisions must be followed up quickly by committed action. The delays and the covert programs attendant to both the Earth allies and the last cabals opposing causes must now be resolved. We mention this because this message is given to our Earth allies time and again. Those who monitor your world's spiritual progress and who have a say in this decision have weighed in on the side of a speedy and positive action to remedy this particular situation. As we speak, the final implementation of this ruling is underway. Our Earth allies acknowledge that a significant transformation in power structures and in wealth distribution is long overdue. Those currently in charge are incapable of instituting what is necessary. In fact, those individuals and groups remain largely in denial of their sacred responsibilities to both Mother Earth and to humanity. Food and callousness are still the hallmark of their reign, and so the time for a quiet revolution has now come. We wait upon the expected outcome and the achievement of first contact. From our vantage point, we look for signs of positive movement on the part of our Earth allies and carefully monitor what your last cabal is up to. We are encouraged by the increasingly friendly reception to our diplomatic and liaison efforts on the part of many governments in Europe and Asia. We are also heartened by the various American groups who press for disclosure and first contact. But this doesn't change the fact that the present US regime remains the primary stumbling block. Its adherents are determined to countermand the progress being made globally on behalf of first contact, despite their growing awareness that their efforts are doomed. They are currently scheming to procure weaponry that they consider capable of obstructing the Divine Plan's mass landing scenario. Each day your world grows more ready to accept our presence among you. This pleases us greatly and keeps us moving joyously towards the moment of first contact. Our fleet works hard every day preparing for the open implementation of this first contact mission. Our personnel happily anticipate the time when we can greet each one of you in peace and sovereignty. Your world and her ecosystem are under a great deal of stress, and while part of this is due to the changes currently underway by the Divine, a major contributor to these looming crises is the sheer carelessness of your world's peoples. We have been permitted to mitigate to some extent the severity of this situation, but in the end it is down to you and your own willingness to redress the effects of your neglect that will resolve these matters. We do what is permitted to nudge you in this direction, including partnering with Mother Earth's elementals to allow you more time to get on board and solve this dilemma yourselves. But we must reiterate how critical it is for you to act now, and to do so in a resolute and comprehensive manner. Our emphasis on the need for swift action on this issue springs from a number of scientific and societal reasons, among them the matter of your dwindling global water supply, which is now a calamity in the making. Without a sufficient water supply, including an adequate flow of water in the major rivers of Earth, humanity cannot exist. This scenario now threatens the nations of Africa, Asia, and the Americas. As water scarcity approaches, it puts increasing pressure on the many instabilities that already exist in the areas just mentioned, thus strengthening the potential for serious discord. This situation demands your close attention, especially given the added destabilizing effects of global warming on an already volatile mix. These fast-growing predicaments make it critically important for you to be very clear that these are not regional issues, but global ones that can only be solved on a global basis. The unconscionable continued use of fossil fuels is absurd in the type of global environment that you are now entering. Our Earth allies know this and have drawn up plans to rectify the most crucial damage of your long reign of thoughtlessness. One of the measures of a society's ability to survive is the way it adapts to its changing surroundings and makes necessary course corrections required for survival. The present dark elite has charted a deadly course that will either decimate or totally wipe out humanity. This matter of literal survival is the prime reason why these immoral ones must go. The reason for your rising consciousness and for our swelling numbers around your planet is that the Divine intends to provide humanity with the resources to survive. It is not intended that you perish, nor that you continue in your present mode of bare survival. The objective is for you to become able to live in prosperity and to experience yourselves as an integral part of a hugely abundant universe. The new reality promised you is bursting with opportunities for you to fulfill your heartfelt dreams and to achieve your life's goals. All consciousness invests you with the capacities to manifest your divine birthright. To be successful in your wondrous pursuits, and to be fully acknowledged for your deeds and for who you really are. In this magnificent realm, you're never alone, which is the basis for our mantra, together we are indeed victorious. And the message concludes. Today we focus on some of the compelling issues facing your global peoples. We ask for your continued patience and to prepare for what is now quite ready to manifest and transform your world forever. The sign for deliverance is truly upon you. Right, looking back, I think that was a very encouraging message, but also very direct in its emphasis that something has to start being done about the state of the planet. And of course, we, whether having no direct intervention in the matters, have to take action as a collective to try and get something moving. But I hope that since our Earth allies know what is required, that they have suitable plans, which apparently have been drawn up and are ready, to rectify, as the message said, the most crucial damage. It's interesting to know also that the Galactic Federation are still behind us. I mean, they're not implying that we have to put this right by ourselves, but I suppose they want to see the first positive moves coming from us. Now, moving on to my general news item. Haven't got many this time, but I wanted to start with something that came with the message that I channeled today from Saint Germain. And it's relative to the current matter that's on most people's minds, relative to what is going on in the Middle East and, of course, peace in the world. And the message reads as follows. The stage is set for the first opportunity to bring matters to a head. The incident in the Middle East with Iran has brought the whole issue more into the public eye. The prospect of expanding the hostilities has dismayed many people, and this is increasing the pressure upon both the US and British government to use diplomatic means to solve it. But it's becoming apparent that the issue will decide their future as they try to use it to whip up anti-Iranian feelings to cover their desires to attack them. We cannot directly interfere in the matter unless it takes a particular path that poses a greater threat to you. We will nevertheless be completely behind our allies who will strongly support any actions to bring the Middle East onto a peaceful path, which will lead to a complete end of the war. This will be your moment of decision as individuals as to whether you support peaceful cooperation or want to bring back tactics of shock and awe. What you allow in your mind, coupled with your power thought, will have a great bearing on the outcome. You have always created your own reality, and as your powers increase, your influence becomes monumental in determining the future of mankind. Whilst the Iran incident is likely to run for some time, the Arab nations are attempting to broker a peace agreement between Israel and Palestine. As such, it requires a totally new way of addressing the problems, and it will show if there is sufficient goodwill on both sides to grasp this opportunity. The people themselves have had enough and lean towards a settlement that would overcome the differences once and for all time. The question is whether Israel can pocket its pride and make its own decisions without the overriding influence of their US backers. Be sure that if the people of the world had more influence and their wishes were noted, wars would have long become unnecessary and outdated. That's all I really wanted to read you from today's message, which just in passing goes on to talk about our history. And there was rarely a time when peace existed all over the world. And it is mentioned that you have to go back a very long time prior to the beginning of this cycle to find such a real period. Who that is, it may, that is the part I wanted to read out. There is a call on Congress to cut funding for the war. And this comes from a website, codepinkalert.org. And starting from Thursday last week, peace activists started an encampment outside Speaker Pelosi's DC house. Mirroring the camp, Pelosi, that has been set up outside her home in San Francisco since Sunday, March 11th. Now, the activists are upset that instead of using her leadership position to end the war by cutting the funds, Pelosi has become mired in the inside beltway compromises that will allow the war to drag on into 2008. It's outrageous, said Co-Pink co-founder Nubia Benjamin. The supplemental bill proposed by Speaker Pelosi will give Bush another $100 billion for the war in Iraq. It will prolong the death and suffering, and it doesn't even stop a new war with Iran. San Francisco peace activists have been asking for a meeting with the Speaker for the past 2 months, but to no avail. In San Francisco, hundreds of her constituents have been participating in sit-ins, dines, and other campaigns to urge her to stop funding the war. They say that the only power that Congress has is the power of the purse, and want Pelosi to cut off war funds. They said, quote, "We are frustrated that we have not been able to talk directly to the Speaker about our grave concerns." And that was said by San Francisco co-pinker, Ray Abilia. And she finally said if she won't meet with us in the House, she'll come to her house. So there we are, that's something that's been ongoing since last week. From another site called thinkprogress.org, I've got a very short extract from a longer article, but it's talking about Senator Webb's Iran bill, which would prevent President Bush from launching a war without explicit congressional approval. And his Iraq bill with Hagel focuses on a redeployment, training and equipment. And it's referred to in the manner of saying that there's an amendment on Iran coming up over the next couple of days. That would relate from the 27th of March, I see. And the message went on to say, it's something that I have worked on for a good bit of time. I hope in all of the attention that's been given to the situation with my staff, we don't lose sight of the importance of that legislation. And secondly, the other piece of legislation that I have been working on with Senator Hagel, which will come to a vote over the next 2 days, these are both important pieces of legislation, and please, let's not forget that. An unusual item in my general news, but something that I thought was very interesting, was a report from the UK paper Daily Mail on their website dailymail.co.uk. I guess this must have been world news, but I haven't seen it come up through any other newspaper or press outside of the UK, although it undoubtedly has. It's talking about a mysterious hexagon spotted above Saturn, and it reads that a mysterious giant hexagon lies above Saturn's north pole, and it was captured by cameras on NASA's Cassini orbiter, and spanning 25,000 kilometers, equivalent to the width of 2 planet Earth, the bizarre geometric feature appears to remain virtually still in the atmosphere as the clouds swirl around it. Infrared images show the hexagon, which contains a smaller six-sided formation, extends about 60 kilometers down into the clouds. The hexagon is similar to Earth's polar vortex, which has winds blowing in a circular pattern around the polar region. On Saturn, the vortex has a hexagonal shape. The six-sided shape is in stark contrast to the swirling, hurricane-like vortex at Saturn's opposite pole. The feature was first photographed more than 20 years ago by NASA's Voyager 1 and 2 probes, and this is the first time the hexagon has been seen in one image. The latest pictures were taken at night time using infrared because the pole is currently in darkness, and the red colour indicates the amount of heat being generated from inside the planet. So if you haven't heard about it or you haven't seen the photographs, if you go to the dailymail.co.uk website, I'm sure you can pick that one up because it will still be current. I move on now to a report that comes from Paul Kilder. Again, this is a website, avaaz.org, and it reads, "Today, in a moment of rare hope for the Middle East, the Arab League is making a serious peace offer to Israel and Riyadh. The international community is rallying in support, but by refusing to address core issues, like the 1967 borders, Israel risks throwing away this chance." Now, it said that almost 57,000 of us have so far joined in demanding real negotiations, and they're asking if people can help them reach 100,000 signatures before the billboards run after Passover next week. The next step will be to deliver the petition to the decision makers. 56% of Israelis say they want their leaders to engage with the new Palestinian government, support the peaceful majority, and its desire for real talks at this crucial moment. It relates that after the 1967 war, Israelis dreamed of peace with the Arab world. This spring, their goal could be in reach, but only if the sides sit down to talk about the real issues fast. Global public opinion matters, and the international community has a vital role in building Middle East peace. And the writer says, if 100,000 of us join in sending this message, we can back up the majority of Palestinians and Israelis who want a real deal and show that the world stands with them. There we are, someone trying to conjure up extra support in helping this peace bid to go through and to be noticed. Now, the Leo Wanter there, that is Ambassador Leo Wanter, rolls on. It seems it's reached a stalling point at the moment. But amongst the latest news on it, from the website globalanalysis.net, is the following. Wanter's lawyers calls for an urgent FBI criminal investigation, saying that following further criminal obfuscation by top US officials and co-conspiring US and foreign bank officers, a lawyer for Ambassador Leo Wanter has written to the Criminal Investigations Division of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, requesting that this never-ending giga financial scandal, which is nearing its anniversary, be addressed immediately. If no action is taken, the whole world will know that the FBI is a criminal organization like the other parties cited. The letter has been sent out to the worldwide diplomatic community by special means and will be in the hands of all prominent US legislators as well as the complicit components of the US federal government by the time the report is being posted. The letter, which paints a grievous picture of a comprehensive collapse of law and order at the highest levels of the US government and the biggest US financial institutions, shows that the United States is sinking into a quagmire of fiat money financial corruption with no historical precedent. It is run by crooks who occupy their high positions in order to make money for themselves and to sell with all other considerations. That's all I wanted to read from that report. Really waiting to see what the outcome is, as the whole matter seems to have been totally stalled. That is the end of my general news items. Slightly fewer than normal, but that's okay. That means we can roll on to the UFO spot, which, as I mentioned, is about the one-eyed beings, and these are entities of Brazil, or at least they were spotted in Brazil. So I'm now looking at the report in one of my old Flying Saucer Review magazines, and this comes from their issue in September 1969. Now, it relates to a number of people, and a person called Fernando and his companions declared that on the night of August the 28th, 1963, immediately after their supper, they went out into the garden for the specific purpose of washing a coffee percolator with water from a container standing near a well. And reaching the garden by the back door, Fernando noted that the garden was brightly illuminated. And this did not surprise him, as there was a moon. A friend of his, Marcus, went quickly to the container and lowered his head and arms right down into it in order to scoop up the water with the bowl. And there was another person, Ronaldo, who was immediately behind him and more to the right-hand side of the house, who first noted with surprise that the source of the light that was illuminating the garden, for the garden light itself was not on, was a circular object illuminated within and having transparent walls, and it was floating stationary at about 15 feet above the ground and about 25 feet from the boys, over an avocado pear tree that stands in front of the house and slightly to one side of it. The diameter of the object was comparable with the principal room of their house, i.e. about 9 to 10 foot wide, and the luminous sphere was divided into small squares. On the upper part of it, it had a sort of aerial consisting of two rods set at inclined angles forming a V, with balls on their tips, and a central vertical rod. And through the walls of the sphere, four persons could be seen seated on little stools with only one leg. One of the persons operating the rear seat had a masculine appearance and was more strongly built than the others. Immediately in front of that one, in the middle of the sphere, was what seemed to be a woman, with long blonde hair pulled back. On the front seat was a man similar to the first mentioned man, much thinner, and seemed to be controlling instruments on the panel on which there was a sort of screen, like the screen of a TV set. The fourth man, who came out of the sphere immediately afterwards, was sitting on the left-hand side of the girl in the centre of the object, and all wearing a sort of diver's suit, and had their heads in round, transparent domes or helmets. They presented a virtually uniform appearance, including their clothing. The trunks of their bodies were clad in something chestnut-coloured. Below the waist, the clothing was white as far as down to the knees, from where it was black as far as the leg, and they were wearing black boots. The uniform seemed to be made of leather and were very wrinkled in the parts corresponding to the limbs and the chests of the crew. There is a drawing, incidentally, with this article. Obviously, you can't see it, but I'll mention that the boys concerned here, or two of the boys, were aged 7 and 9, so they're quite young. But I guess someone's obviously made a decent drawing out of what they saw, plus their description. I don't think I can really add anything to what has been said, except in the drawing they appear to have packs on their back. We may perhaps reach some mention of that as we go on. Anyway, it reads on and says that in a matter of seconds, two parallel shafts of yellow light were projected towards the ground from the under part of the machine. And between these two shafts, one of the men descended, as though floating upright, till he gently touched the ground. As soon as he was on the ground, the man walked towards the witnesses, and Fernando and Ronald found themselves almost hemmed in against the house, and totally dumbfounded, could not warn Marcus, who, with his head right down inside the water drum, had seen nothing of all this yet. With a measured, regular step, his arms swinging slightly from the body, and apparently not perceiving the presence of Fernando and Ronaldo, the man went towards the well where he halted, then stretched out an arm towards Marcus. Interpreting this gesture as a threat to the unsuspecting companion, Fernando jumped onto Marcus, throwing him violently to the ground, so as to prevent the man from seizing hold of him. With Marcus still lying astonished on the ground, the man, not moving, looked at Fernando and then at Ronaldo. The latter had retreated farther towards the rear end of the garden, intending to escape into the house. but in his confused flight, he struck a knee on the corner of the house and had the pain of it make him stop. At that moment, the man looked at him. Ronaldo then turned back a few paces and took up a massive portion of the immediate inside of the house with his companions, who also felt themselves powerless either to flee or to shout. The man made a series of gestures with his hands, horizontally, accompanied by head movements and strange words. Ronaldo says that after his gesticulation, his fear left him. Calmer now, and at a distance of about 6 feet from him, the boys were able to take a better look at the strange visitor. He had only one eye. He was totally bald, as were two of his companions, and his skin had a strong reddish tinge. His enormous fear was compared by the boys to the size of the side door of their house, which is over 6 foot wide. On the man's transparent helmet, there was a sort of hoop-shaped antenna with a small ball hanging from it. The man's eye was large, round and dark, and did not have the white part. Marcus is emphatic that the central part of the eye, instead of having a round pupil, had merely a horizontal darker streak. Above the eye, moving frequently, there was a dark projecting area which the boys took to be an eyebrow. The clothing, as already described, covered the man's entire body and seemed to be slightly inflated. The man sat down on the edge of the well with his profile to the boys and facing the machine, where his companions were still to be seen. The height to which the man's head came was much higher than the height of the winch of the well. Taking advantage of the man's apparent distraction at this moment, Fernando moved a few paces and so got behind the man. Quickly, he picked up a piece of brick from the ground and raised his arm to throw it at the man's back. "I wanted to hit him," said Fernando. Inexplicably, as though he had guessed what was coming, the man jumped to his feet and wheeled round towards Fernando with a rapid movement, ejecting from a rectangular area at the level of his chest a beam of yellow light which struck the boy's hand, making it tremble for a moment. It dropped to the ground, and the boys perceived that the man, looking rapidly in the direction of the machine, received from his companion seated at controls a gesture which they interpreted as one of a dissuasion. At that moment, the boys perceived more clearly that the other members of the crew also had only one eye. In the brief instance that the man had his back towards them, the boys were able to note the existence there on his back of a coppery coloured box fixed to his clothing. He said, "You know that colour that appears when you strip the casing from a piece of electric light wire," said Fernando, trying to describe the box. In strange language, an extremely loud voice, and with many gestures with hands and head and eye, the man now seemed to be trying to make himself understood by the children, who stood there passively watching him. Forming a circle with his thumb and index finger, the man traced various circles in the air around this first circle with the index finger of his other hand, talking the whole time. Then he pointed to the three boys, and with a certain degree of difficulty, tried to place the palms of his hands against his own head as though making a gesture of sleeping. Then he pointed to the moon, making a gesture of progressive elevation with his hands as though to indicate flying in that direction. Then he turned about and strode slowly towards the machine along the same path to which he had come. Seeing him leaving, Marcus said anxiously to Fernando, "Will he come back?" Their astonishment, the man turned his head towards them and made several vertical movements with it as though replying to Marcus's question. Halfway to the machine, he bent down towards the flower bed and took a plant from it with his left hand. On reaching the spot where he had landed, he made a slight gesture, and the two beams of light reappeared, linking the machine with the ground. Going up smoothly between the two beams and maintaining an erect posture, as he had when descending, he entered the craft, and they saw him take his seat with his companions. Just bear with me a second. My throat is getting a little bit hoarse, so I'll just take a sip of water and try and clear it. Just bear with me.
sure that will make a difference, I read on. After that, the machine at once emitted a powerful brightness and rose obliquely and silently towards the east. Then its light went out and it vanished from the sight of the children, who were still standing there, astounded. I'm reading on very quickly. They ran back to the house and they spoke with their mother. She hadn't apparently seen anything. And the father was out at a neighbouring bar chatting with some friends. They told other people in the neighbourhood, and of course, as you might expect, particularly that many years ago, their response was one of absolute disbelief. And a neighbour came and looked at the marks on the ground that same night. And as a result of their experience, the boys refused to go out into the garden at night, which was quite contrary to their long-standing habit. That is really, I think, where I can end that report. The report was very detailed and did go on to reconstruct the screen. They did ask a number of questions, but I don't think it will tell us a lot more. And what has already been said, they were questions whether the beings had any had a nose or anything like it, but they said they didn't notice, so I suspect perhaps they didn't have one. But they did notice the mouth, and they were talking about ears. They didn't see them either, but they did say that they had teeth, which were white. He said they were much, the teeth here, pointing to his own canine teeth, he said were much bigger than the rest. So there are a few more details, reading quickly through, just scanning it to see if anything else of note that's worth passing on to. Can't see anything really, although they did ask what his voice was like, and Fernandez said, to the person interviewing him, he said it was 10 times as loud as yours. They didn't see any movement of the machine they came in whilst all this was taking place. And they did mention that the man sitting in front of the thing, like the television set, was moving his hands about on the lower part of it. They tried to reproduce the movements, which appeared to be, as one might see, someone fingering a keyboard. So that's it, I think. Yes, so I think that's a very unusual one, and that there is also another drawing in, along with this report showing the man, the one-eyed man, full face. There's a drawing there. Looking to see if there's anything else that I can mention. They are showing in the about middle third of the arm, the body, the upper part of the legs, a type of, how can I say, suit with, it's got rolls in it, so to allow for movement. That's all I can say then. I thought that was an extremely interesting one. What I'll come to now are some other messages, basically of a spiritual nature, virtually all channeled. And the one I'm starting with here goes back to December last year, and it comes from an excellent site on the that provides an email service through the Yahoo groups called Just Channeling. This particular one, which came out on December the 8th, was channeled by Susan Carroll, and it was a message from the Arcturian. I've read one or two out already, and I think I've read an extract of this particular one. Now I'm scanning the pages that I've got here, because there are two pages and a bit. Yes, I've read an extract, so I think having taken the meaty bit out of it, I don't think there's much point in me reading anymore, although there was two paragraphs talking about becoming self, which I may throw in. They say that now you have returned to your multidimensional self, you are coming to the completion of your fears and dramas. You are now fully aware that your every thought and emotion is projected into the 3D hologram of illusion for your enjoyment or disdain. Every thought, especially those heavily laced with emotion, is a preview of the reality you will manifest. You are now the soul creator of your reality. Regret creates more of that which you disdain, and thanksgiving creates more of that which you enjoy. Fortunately, whenever you feel lost or afraid, you can reach into the flow of universal energy and higher dimensional light of yourself to receive comfort, wisdom, and forgiveness. You can choose to constantly bathe in the flow of universal energy. Hold it in your consciousness, maintain your connection with it, or you can choose to forget it. Remember that not doing anything is also a choice. Even though there is much that you have remembered, you are still babies learning and remembering how to crawl through the universe of all that is. The flow reminds you that there are no mistakes and there are no accidents. It also reminds you that if you fail in your attempt to create a certain reality, instantly forgive yourselves and congratulate yourselves for having the courage to try. You brave warriors that you are have spent many earthly lifetimes being a person. Now as your consciousness has expanded into the fifth dimension and beyond, you are learning to be a planet. And I think it was that extract spoken out that aspect that I read out before. If that sounds frightening or odd, I would mention that that is a part of the evolution that comes a long time hence. It's not the next stage of evolution by any means, but to be sure, each planet does have what you might call a guardian or a consciousness that looks after it. The next message I have here comes from the Pleiadians. Now, they are one group along with the Syrians and also the Arcturians who are strongly associated with Earth and have had a lot to do with the Earth over a long, long time, thousands and thousands of years. Now this message came from the lady whose channeling abilities I very much like, called Lauren, and this came through on the 4th of February this year. The message reads that I am of your ascended origin and have much to share regarding your progress. I can share with you details of the current alignment and can assist you in your understanding. Others and I work with your ascension path and human mastery of latent skills. We maintain the circuit boards for your rewiring based on the state of human vibration. Currently, you are in a state of integration once again. You are each assimilating many higher frequencies of tone and light to accommodate your life work. You are becoming ascended masters of the earthly realms. This is a combination of higher and lower intelligence, not in a hierarchical way, but in the merging of matter and spirit. This means that soon you will govern the complete mastery over your physical world, and will have this control based on the inner work and spiritual attainment that you have all achieved. This is outstanding work that you have accomplished, and by all means you deserve the respect that you will receive in the name of wisdom, inner strength, endurance, and longevity of faith. The amount of change that you have undergone is not yet fully available to the physical eye, so to speak, but assuredly you are becoming all that you dreamed of. This integration period will have the physical accompaniment of health and vitality needed for you to begin your work. This means that as you grow into your new skin, you will begin to slough off the older vibrations of density and matter. The human physical counterpart of ascension is the release of toxic thought forms that hold a soul in the shed these salt forms and they move more fluidly into your vessels. Now is the time to realise the full potential of being human and take part in the sensual joys of awaking. In the ascended realms, there is a partition arising between worlds or paradigms. This is a significant rising of separation from those of a more base density who will not have the interest in walking the path of the ascension bound as of yet. Those with the interest in purification will now have the means to do so. Those who wish to continue to encounter the old ways of fear and lack will also have this experience available in the playground of a dimensional world. It is important to note that those of you who wish to attain full mastery of the light are to be involved in activities that will bring the world into a state of balance. This is the role of the ascension bound to be a beacon of light for those who wish to walk a new way. Those of you who are regarding your future as hopeful and full of promise will be gaining the rights and activities to pursue these intentions based on universal law. Those who hold a vision of power and greed will also be attaining the rights and activities to pursue their intentions. It will be a period of tremendous growth, yet separation will be apparent for a time. There will be those who hold to the ways of the old with great fear of letting go, and there will be those who will cajole them to the light. This will not be done with force as in the days of old, but with the gentle mastery of the heart. Those who are prepared to hold the frequency of light will be ridding themselves of the need to convince others of the way. It will no longer be necessary to venture, as each of you will be diligently working to create and recreate your realities. This is the work of ascension, the work of mastery over the physical plane. The purpose, therefore, is to bring each of you into a state of alignment with the Earth Mother and Sky Father energies. This energy is merged in balance. It's the toolbox by which you will work from. The energy of self-mastery is the energy of both male and female and is the grounded anchor for transmutation on Earth. The time has come for rebuilding your world and partaking in a grand experiment of cosmic alignment and reconciliation. This project is the reason you all lined up to incarnate on Earth at this very special time. Each of you holds the perfect balance of Creator's energy to maintain the frequency of love that is necessary to transform your world. Each of you will undergo a massive transformation of great clarity, and abundance will be the new means by which to create. In this transformation process, there are many levels of vibration, each consisting of its own particular essence. The level of vibration depends greatly on the amount of energy and work you have put forth into your process. This is an individual accomplishment, and it varies. And the amount of energy put forth into your level of mastery depends greatly on your role in these times. Some of you have roles to shake up the earth. Some of you have roles to nurture. Some of you have roles in holding a frequency of love to maintain a seemingly status quo existence during the transformations. But each of you holds a perfect part of the collective whole in achieving the seemingly impossible. The way showers and rock masters have had their toughest path of awakening to their divine heritage, this is due in part to the type of fire energy that they hold for the purposes of breaking down old structures and paradigms. These wayshowers have the ability to merge the higher ways with the lower world and to be the bridge by which the masses can walk over. This is how strong the wayshowers are, and you will know them by their presence. They will seem to be otherworldly in their convictions for a better world, and this is indeed an accurate display. As these wayshowers bring you the light, you are to do your part to maintain that which they bring. The light will descend upon the planet and be ascertained by the few It will in turn give the transforming energy to those willing to work with it. This is the role of the bulk of light workers at this time, to take this energy from those who will facilitate it and utilize it for the highest good of all. This means many things, but the most important and pressing is the caretaking and immediate nurturing of your planet. The education needs of Earth shall become well known in a very short period of time. As this information is spread through communicators of the light, it will be up to you to become the new way. First, then, to teach it to others. Your becoming is paramount to the success of this project, and it is therefore a requirement that you nurture yourselves and those close to you first to begin your new lives from a foundation of security, health, and peaceful coexistence. You will be provided for in many ways, and it will be up to you to utilize these gifts optimally and for your highest good. Now, as the tide turns in favor of the light, you will come to know the love and respect that each of you deserve, with the courage and insight to see the higher way. Those of you with roles in the field of science will now have the upper hand with the funding capabilities. Use these funds wisely and be sure that the word of God is passed through each invention that you put forth. The scientists' old ways will soon... The scientists of old will soon merge with the great thinkers of times past, and the collective consciousness will be filled with vast and numerous plans and ideas for new energy implementation. The funding available will ensure these interventions infiltrate the masses with ease. The tide is turning and a new world is emerging from the depths of the seas. You are to be very proud of your accomplishments as you bring the brigade of new beginnings and great change. As you awaken in your divine heritage, notice the point from whence you began this journey, and you will be astounded at your growth. These activations have been incessant and at times grueling, but soon you will understand why it seems so pressing. You are atop the mountain that you fastidiously climbed, and now you overlook the land with great insight, depth of wisdom and clarity of high truth. The way down is supported with pull of gravity that you can only experience after mustering up the courage and energy to defy it. This is what you have accomplished, and now you sit in silent reverie, contemplating the path back to the village of grounded reality. Gather your wits and be deliberate in every action henceforth, for now you possess every tool that you diligently gathered to embark upon a very new journey, one of your conscious choosing. Congratulations are in order. Gratification will soon become commonplace as you rejoice with one another. We are rejoicing beside you. Farewell worries, peaceful resolve is before you. So, that's the message from the Palladian, who, I'm guessing from what I've read, through my understanding, are probably the closest ETs to us of all the ones that seem to be having regular contact with us. Now, I'm just moving on to finish up the program. Message that came through Nancy Tate, who is also on the same website as myself. And in October last year, I'm surprised I've still got this one. In a message that went back to October 2005, it's what is called a wake-up call from Hatton. And he was saying then that there's something that is about to happen that will spell the end for the government of the United States as we know it. And he said, as the days of the week march forward and present their activities, we'll be seeing an abrupt turn in the function of the government. We will see the House of Cards come falling down. In the beginning, of the new way of governance will be born in the hearts and minds of all citizens of Earth. He says, realise that the attempts of the Bush regime are built around fallacy, therefore they cannot stand, and they are the mark of desperation and will not surface with any energy or momentum, for there is no basis on which they are made. And Hacken says, when you hear reports of an attack on foreign soil for the sake of a democratic world, you are hearing fallacy. When you hear of the warranted increase of soldiers in Iraq and other places in the world, they are fallacy and are not going to be proven to be necessary. We are there in those other lands, and we are seeing that any attempts to cause an increase in the energy of the war are not happening. We are seeing that though there have been more soldiers sent to various parts of the Middle East, those soldiers are not carrying out the assigned duties. They are in perpetual preparedness and are not actually involved in warfare. They are readying for battles that will not come. They are occupying areas that are not under siege in any way that is threatening to the lives of those who are in a position to lose their lives. And he says, my dear ones, we are there in those places. We are seeing what is taking place. We know the reports tell you one thing. They tell you that fierce fighting is taking place. This too has been planned. This is a situation that has been staged to cover the truth. The truth is that there is not any fighting taking place in those areas. There is occupation, yes. However, lives are not being lost. Battles are taking place. However, the bullets are not dangerous and do not kill. He goes on to say that we have been able to preserve the lives of those whose contract does not involve leaving Earth at this time. Also, it is time for all of you who have been preparing for this time to step forth and to supply the answers that will be called for by so many. There will be much confusion and consternation, and with the knowledge you have and ability to communicate that knowledge, you will be able to steady the quivering hearts and calm the angry souls. You will be advised as to the positioning where you will be of the most assistance. The way will be made possible for you, and the intuitive urges you have will give you this guidance. Now, yeah, that was extracts from a longer message. I thought how strange, really, you can go back something like a year and a half, and there we have comments that are still relevant today, although clearly in the meantime, in the Middle East, there has been fighting, although there may not have been true fighting, such as was indicated at that particular period of time, 18 months ago. But what took my notice there was that Hatton mentioned that we, talking of Hatton and the other masters, and probably the Galactic Federation, are in those places where the fighting is taking place, and they see what is actually taking place. I think they can also monitor it from their ships in any event, because they have such advanced technology that they can beam their equipment straight down into these situations. Well, my friends, I seem to have reached the end of the programme, and I'm surprised how quickly time goes. I hope you enjoyed the articles that I selected for the programme. I thank you for being with me, and I trust you'll be with me next week. God bless you all. Thank you.